Last week, I caught up on the phone with a seminary friend of mine. We traded updates on our families, how we're each navigating work as priests in this strange world of ours, and how he's been holding up since his father passed away last year. After we'd been talking for a good bit, my friend paused and then said, "You know, I've been thinking a lot about something you said years ago." When we had been in the same church 8 or 9 years ago now, he heard me say that alcohol and grief didn't mix well for me. And although my friend has had a lovely relationship with wine, here in the wake of his father's death, what I said back then rang true for him in a new way. He realized it was time for a change. In hearing this reflection, I chuckled, and then I had to explain why I was laughing in this tender moment, because he couldn't see the gratitude in my eyes or that I was shaking my head at the wonder of this exchange. I was laughing, I told him, because he had been key in my own decision to quit drinking back then. I recalled sitting in the front pew one Sunday morning, listening to him preach. As I took in his words, suddenly it clicked. I had to stop. He wasn't preaching about alcohol, but his words set me free. How wild, I thought now, to have them come full circle in this way. I don't remember saying those particular words, but I do remember realizing that I needed to share with my congregation that I had quit drinking and why. It felt necessary if I was going to be authentic with them. God pushes us to be real, to be fully ourselves. And often we have no idea where that will lead. "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus tells his disciples. As I've been pondering these words, wondering what they might mean for us here and now, my mind jumped to the parable of the sower. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells us, is like a sower who goes out to sow his seeds. The sower throws his seeds wildly and indiscriminately, not worrying about where they land. Some fall on the hard path, and birds come and gobble them up. Some land among the rocks and can't put down deep roots, and they wither. Some sprout up among thorns and are choked out. But some of the seeds land in good soil. They put down deep roots, and these plants grow tall, and they produce abundantly. "You are the salt of the earth," Jesus tells us. And in hearing that, my mind's eye moves, and I see bags and buckets of salt that sit on every front stoop of the snowy parts of the world, waiting to be tossed out, ready to clear the way forward. For many years of my life, this simple practice defined our days for months every year. We stepped outside and immediately scattered big mittenfuls of salt this way and that, trusting that it would help us to keep going and safely. It was simple and necessary. Jesus seems to be saying the same is true of us, that who and what we are is simple and necessary. He couches it in the absurd, though, with this rather sarcastic science joke. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. This may catch his listeners for a moment, making them wonder what's wrong with them as salt that has lost its saltiness. But This is part of how Jesus is telling them and us what we are. Salt, as it turns out, is an extremely stable mineral. It can seem to disappear, dissolving in water, but as soon as the water evaporates, we see the salt again, left behind. Jesus is not asking the disciples to change. This is not a challenge for them to be salty. It's a statement, a description. Salt is simply what we are. This quality cannot be lost, though we can choose what we do with it and where we share it. For his first hearers, it is also a statement that conveys his great confidence in them. Salt was everything back then. It was enormously valuable. Roman soldiers were given an allowance for salt, hence the word we still use today, salary. To tell these poor, hungry, downtrodden crowds, these people who were themselves oppressed, that they are salt, it must be hard for them to believe. Jesus is saying that they are precious, that they matter, that they can affect change wherever they go. And then, as soon as Jesus tells his students that they are salt and light, he reminds them that the point of it all is liberation. The point is justice. The point is abundant life. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, he says. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. When Jesus visits his hometown of Nazareth, he goes to the synagogue and reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, saying that these words are fulfilled in him. The passage he proclaims there mirrors what we heard from Isaiah this morning, recounting God's vision for humanity. This is what he is bringing into being, and this is what it will mean for his disciples to live as the salt of the earth. Listen again to what Jesus has come to fulfill. It is to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to bring unhoused folks into our own homes. He has come to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. He has come so that together we might be repairers of the breach, the restorers of streets to live in. It is a sweeping dream of healing and liberation. Friends, I don't have to tell you that this goodness that God desires for all people is under attack. You read the news. But I think it matters that I name it here, alongside this vision that Jesus calls us to join him in creating. You are salt, he tells us again. And friends, salt melts ice. There it is, right? There it is, salt melts ice. It can be awfully hard to see how any of our actions can bring about the change we need right now, when the wanton brutality of state-sponsored violence runs unchecked. The footage captured by citizens in the streets, the accounts of dangerous and dehumanizing chaos in ICE detention centers, it takes my breath away. And each act of love, each act of service, each act of resistance, no matter how small, adds up. There are many, many ways to join in repairing the breach, as Isaiah puts it. Many ways to share in restoring our streets to be safe to live in. It starts most basically by casting our salt freely and generously, by being fully ourselves, authentic and faithful to the gospel, without needing proof of where this will land or how it will take root. Some of it won't work. We'll never know the effect of lots of it. And once in a while, sometimes many years later, there are moments like the providential weaving together of my friend's sermon and my sharing about sobriety, and we see the goodness that we got to help make possible. Once in a while, we will be given the grace of knowing that when we showed up fully as ourselves, fully as God called us to be, it helped someone else to be more alive, more free, more fully who God created them to be. Showing up as ourselves is the balm the world needs. There is no one right way to do it. It's about finding our particular, authentic, salty way of living out the gospel. There are more than enough examples to get us started, though. I see so many ways of being salt in the witness coming out of Minnesota these days. It looks like a community band bringing their tubas and trumpets and trombones to the snowy streets, icicles dripping from the bells, playing both to keep spirits up and also to calm folks down when tensions are rising. It looks like people bringing groceries and running carpools for neighbors who are afraid to leave their homes, and pooling money to fly neighbors back to Minnesota when they are released from detention centers in Texas with nothing. It looks like a group of Somali mothers brewing great vats of tea and bringing it out to the icy streets to share at vigils and protests alike. And we see this salt right here at home all the time. The salt of clothing, the cold and the naked, with piles of coats and baby clothes and blankets gathered right there in our sanctuary. There is the salt of meeting the urgent call to gather food for loaves and fishes when their shelves were bare recently. You all did this. There is the salt of the team from our church who, at the last minute, responded to a request for help and served food on Christmas Day for the residents of the Winter Nights Family Shelter. There is the salt in our members gathering in vigil and witness at the immigration court in Concord. There is salt in all those who are urging our elected leaders to work for the common good. Friends, you are salt. We together are salt. We are called to offer ourselves freely and generously in service of abundant life and liberation and God's love for all people. We cannot always know where our efforts will land or what impact they will have. And we are called to show up all the same, to work for what is right, and to be the salt that God has made us to be.